Monday nights at 8:15, so if you're a lady, you can come check us out. It'd be cool. It's pretty nice. But anyway, thank you for asking me to speak. I was like kind of looking forward to it because, I don't know, I was just looking forward to it, and which is weird because it's kind of, you know, it's nervous. But anyway, so I was born, and my parents are like nice people. My mom is like the sweetest woman in like the entire world. I just have to like say that, you know, she's like the greatest. She's super codependent, but like she's the greatest. And my dad may or may not be one of us. That's not for me to speculate, but he's doing the best with what he has. So when I was young, I don't know what I was like, but I know that like when I was in first grade, okay, so what, you're like six, I had like these severe night terrors where like I would get up in the middle of the night and like run around the house with my eyes open screaming, you know, and like it was pretty dangerous because I was like a kid and we had stairs and I would go outside and like, you know, my parents just got like no sleep. And so it like started happening like every single night, and so sort of as like a last resort, like the doctors prescribed me Klonopin, and so my mom started giving me Klonopin at night, and I just remember that like I would get so excited for bedtime, you know, like I would put on my PJs, you know, mom, I'm in bed, come tuck me in, you know, like I really, really enjoyed that, you know, and like reflecting back on that, you know, I'm like, all right. I'm an alcoholic through and through, you know, it wasn't just a phase at some point in my life, but, so I got to, like, middle school, and that was rough. I think middle school is rough for a lot of young women, maybe young men, too, but I don't know about that, but, anyway, I had a lot of feelings, like, all of the time, you know, and so I think it was, like, maybe I was 12 or 13. I had my first drink around that time with, like, a few friends, and I remember it was, like, pretty fun, and, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, you know, and because, like, everything just sort of, like, shut off for a minute, you know, and my friends that I had in middle school who were actually, like, pretty mean to me, like, weren't so mean to me anymore, you know, and they, like, liked having me around, and so I was really into that, and yeah, like everybody says, like after, you know, like remember my first drink, and I remember wanting to drink all the time after that, and so when I got to high school, like, okay, so in middle school, I was in like this, a lot of my story is going to be like in this, I got sober pretty young, so it's going to all happen kind of, you know, here-ish, but when I was in middle school, I was, like, in the gifted program or whatever, you know, and they were all, like, IB, everyone's going to IB, which is, like, you know, hard, and so when I was going to high school, I was, like, no, no IB for me, you know, this is, high school is my time to, like, drink and get high, you know, like, I'm gonna, like, smoke a lot of pot, that's the plan, and so, you know, I turned down the thing. Which is fine, you know, I'm fine now, but, anyway, so I get to high school, and, like, I immediately find, like, the, like, dopiest-looking kid there, you know, just, like, sitting on the bleachers, like, this crazy hair, he's wearing, like, a, you know, tie-dye t-shirt, I'm like, all right, that's who I'm hanging at, that's my friend, you know, and so, so, yeah, drugs are a part of my story. I'm not really going to talk about that. But I started, like, drinking and, you know, all right, I guess I am a little bit going to talk about it, and smoking pot a lot. And, like, every day, you know, like, I would get off the bus. Like, I was really excited for school in the morning because I'd get off the bus and, like, you know, walk across the street and, like, see my friends. And that was, like, the best to me, you know? And, but, like, around my sophomore year, maybe, like, I started drinking, I didn't like, you know, the, like, fruity drinks, the, you know, the, like, this tastes good, you know. Like, I was trying to get, like, as drunk as possible, as quick as possible. And, you know, when I found Everclear, I was like, all right, this is, like, basically rubbing alcohol, you know. Like, how much, like, you know, quicker can I get drunk? Like, this is it, you know. And so that freaked a lot of my friends out that, like, would drink with me because they would, you know, be like, oh, let me get a sip of your liquor or whatever, you know, because it's, like, hard to buy that when you're 16. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, you know, and they'd just, like, what the hell, Bethany, you know, this is, like, they would cough a lot, you know, and just, like, need a lot of water. And I'd be like, yeah, just drink some water, it's fine, you know. But, yeah, I thought that, like, everything I was doing was, like, very normal, you know. Like, I thought that everybody, like, sort of, like, went to high school and, like, drank a lot and, like, did a lot of other stuff. And, like, it turns out that they don't. But I thought that, like, until I got sober, you know. Like, I thought that for a very long time that everything was normal, and it was not. And, you know, I, like, drove drunk a lot. I didn't get my license until I was, like, 17 because I just sort of, like, was too busy, like, drinking to, like, be like, oh, yeah, I should get my learner's permit, you know, when, you know, like, other kids are, like, excited about these, like, things, you know, and I'm just, like, absorbed in getting drunk, and that's it. And so anyway, so I started driving drunk a lot once I got my license. I drove this, like, 1991 Toyota truck. It was, like, the lightest thing in the world. It was ridiculous. And I would, like, come home real late, like, on a Thursday night, you know, and it's a school night, and my mom would be like, Bethany, you've been drinking, you know? You can't drive drunk. Don't you know that, you know? And I'd be like, because I thought that if I got a Doritos Locos taco on the way home, she wouldn't be able to smell it, you know? Because I like, heard that somewhere. So I would do that. So, like, when she would say, like, you're drunk, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, have you been drinking? Like, you know, and my mom never drinks, you know? Like, she would, like, make herself a margarita, it'd be too strong. She'd be like, oh, Bethany, here, you can have it, you know, back before, like, I was noticeably an alcoholic. And so anyway, God, yeah, my poor mother, I make a lot of living amends to her today. But, yeah, I, like, don't remember a lot of, like, the last few years, like, before I got sober, but I remember enough to know that it was, like, super shitty. And, like, my drinking was progressing, and I was getting into other things. Like, I would go drink at, like, this guy was, like, I don't know, 40, and he would just have a bunch of, like, high school kids drink at his house, and I also thought that that was normal. He's really nice, but I guess. But, anyway, so I'd go there a lot, and I would, like, you know, if I started feeling a little bit sick, I would, like, go to the bathroom to, like, make myself throw up so that I could drink more, because I didn't want it to just happen and then them be like, you can't drink anymore, you know. So I would just go quietly do that, you know, come back for more shots. And I, like, ran over my friend one night. I, like, punched him in the face. He, like, locked me in the bathroom, and he, like, wouldn't let me out until, like, I hit him in the face. Like, he said, like, punch me in the face a bunch of times, which was super weird. He probably should come to a meeting too. But anyway, so I did it, and he was blacked out, and I, like, not from my punch, but he was blacked out from drinking. And so I hit him a couple of times, and then, like, you know, we finally open the door, and everybody's outside of the door, like, what's going on in there, you know, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, of course, what, you know, because we were just screaming in there, and then they heard, like, somebody get punched twice. And so then, this is a stupid story, but he was, like, trying to get into my car later, and then, like, I ran over his leg because he held onto the door handle, and, like, then he fell, and, like, anyway, I don't know. But yeah, so I still, like, am unaware that, like, I have a problem, you know? And, like, I just remembered that thing, like, a year ago, you know? I was like, oh, wow, that's, like, not cool, you know? And this is stupid, you know? And, like, I didn't really think that, like, I had to go to all those classes. So I was only showing up for, like, maybe half the day because I was just, like, running around town. My big thing was that I was homeless. I wasn't homeless. I had a home, but I couldn't drink the way that I wanted to there, so I didn't stay there. So I would, like, come to school, you know, maybe, like, late, and with, like, trash bags of my stuff, you know, and be, like, at school waiting to, like, somebody to come pick me up or the bus, you know. And so they ended up, like, being like, okay, intervention for Bethany, academic, and they, like, shortened my schedule to 3 classes, one of which was lunch. And like, I still couldn't make it, you know? And I thought, again, I thought that, like, everybody did this. Like, oh, yeah, nobody's there, you know, actually. Like, who, dweebs go to school, you know? And, but everyone was there but me, you know? And so anyway, I couldn't make it to those 3 classes or lunch either, it turned out. And I, like, moved down to Venice. Oh, right, so now I'm 18. So I went to detox for the first time. I got Marchman acted for the first time. And I met this guy in there, you know, and I started dating him because I thought that he was a nice guy. And we had a lot in common, you know. And so I moved down to Venice. I was, like, living with him. We were, like, renting, like, a room from Craigslist. And that was weird, super weird. And his cousin ended up moving in, even weirder. And, you know, yeah, so I'm, like, in Venice. And then there's, like, an emergency academic intervention that, like, my mom picks me up for, you know. And so I get there, and they're like, okay, this, you know, this isn't working. You're not going to graduate. Like, can you just come to school for 2 days, just 2 full days, and take these classes online? Just take the test for them, because you can probably get a C. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't think I can make it, you know? 2 days? Like, that was, like, you know, insane. The whole day? You gotta be kidding me. So I'm, like, saying, I don't know, you guys. And then my mom's in the room, too. And she's like, yes, yes, she will be there. I will drive her here. And I'm like, Mom, I don't want you to come pick me up, you know. But so I did that. And that was, yeah, I was pretty lucky then, too, you know, because I thought that, like, I had to really keep my mind up, you know, for a long time. It's time to get sober. But, so I did stupid stuff. Anyway, so I, like, a year goes, I tell that guy that he needs to go to treatment and that I will get seen by a doctor and get prescribed something and that I'll be fine. And so he goes away to treatment, starts seeing some other guy who, like, I don't know, he was kind of illiterate, but he's also a nice guy. He's doing the best with what he has. And anyway, so that's, like, I'm returning stuff that his family's stealing, and it's just, like, this big mess, you know. And so my mom, like, calls me up one day, and she's like, okay, will you come home and spend the night for 2 nights? And I'm like, are you gonna cook dinner, you know, because I'm hungry. I'm like, I want to be hungry. And so she's like, yeah, sure, you know. Of course, I have 2 young girls to feed too, you know, I have sisters. And so anyway, I go over there. The first night is a disaster because I have my boyfriend and our, like, friend drug dealer over, and my mom gets up to get the girls ready for school, and she comes into my room to, like, check on me, and then, you know, this guy that she knows is a drug dealer is asleep on my bed, and then I'm outside out front with this, my boyfriend, like, you know, just screaming at him, like, who knows what, you know, and she's just like, I feel so terrible for this, you know. She's like, I'm getting the girls ready for school, you know, she just, like, had no words. And so anyway, so the following night, this is where the tricky part comes in, because my mom's tricky. I'm in my room. I'm trying to get, like, I'm using water to get the last out of the bottle, you know, to drink. It's not working. I'm very sick. I'm detoxing. You know, I'm trying to do it. And it's just miserable, and it's just very isolating and alone. And just, I've been alone for so long, and it just sucks. And then I see flashlights outside of the window, you know, like going to the front door. And instead of running out the back door, I go straight to the front door. I'm like, I'm Bethany Hamer. Let's go to detox, you know? Like, I'm like, dying to go, you know? I'm like, this sucks. Get me out of this, you know? And so I go to detox, and that's, like, a huge thing, but I sort of want to talk about sobriety. But, yeah, long story short, I went to detox, to a psych ward for Christmas, which was all right, you know? And then to a treatment center, who I tried to leave there a few days before my discharge date. And anyway, they ended up Baker acting me. That's a whole thing, too. But they ended up Baker acting me again. And then, like, I called them when I'm done with that. I'm like, hey, can I come back? And they're like, no, we think you have more problems than we can handle. We suggest this other treatment center, which is in Tampa. And so I end up there. And, like, the first treatment center I went to was, like, real bougie, you know, like, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, no accountability. I mean, maybe there was accountability, but, like, I wasn't, I wouldn't go to group, and I would just, like, sleep in. There was a maid, you know. And so the second treatment center, though, they're, like, and I'm sort of going with the flow. Like, I've been going with the flow for, like, months since I went to that front door, you know, just, like, whatever, I'm here now, you know. I'm not sure if I want to be, but, like, I am, and that's what it is. And so I end up at this place, and they're like, you know, get a sponsor and make phone calls and, like, all the things that, like, you should do when you get sober. And so I got a sponsor. It turns out that, like, she had, like, 26 other sponsees at the time, and so that was why she never called me back. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But my second sponsor, you know, I got a new sponsor. I guess that one doesn't really count. But, you know, she would have me call her every day. She'd have me write a gratitude list every day, all this, you know, good stuff. And I would, like, do it. And then, you know, every day in group, I would check in. They would be like, oh, you know, you say how many times you called your sponsor and then your network. And I would check in, like, one and one, one and zero, you know, just, like, to make it believable, because I wasn't calling, like, any woman, you know, like I was supposed to be. And so, like, a week before I'm getting discharged, I'm like, oh, okay, I better call some woman. Like, I don't know anyone, you know, and because I was staying in Tampa, I was like, no way I'm going back down to Sarasota, you know, I'm not going to stay sober there. I'm going to this halfway house. I went to a halfway house for, like, a year. That was super fun. I was the one, like, out on the porch smoking cigs, you know, trying to get everybody to smoke more cigs, you know, and I was like, these are the years of our lives, girls, you know, and we would just pile in the car and go to meetings, and, like, every night was kind of like a sleepover, you know. I never had to, like, feel lonely, because there would always, I mean, I had, like, 14 roommates throughout my time there, but there would always be, like, someone in the other bed that I could be like, hey, are you up? You know, like, you want to watch Netflix? And so that was, like, I don't know, that was really fun for me. But when I got out of treatment and I was in this halfway house, I really started working my steps, because I started to see, like, a need to, you know. And I just, yeah, God, it was great. And, you know, I, like, went through all my steps. Like, I worked all 12. You know, and I, like, started sponsoring other women. My first sponsee ever is still sober, which is, like, super cool, you know, because, like, that doesn't happen, but, often. But, yeah, like, I don't know, like, I recently was having a watch for a sponsee, and, like, I was making a Facebook event, and it showed, like, past events. And there were just, like, you know, a watch is where you stay up till midnight to watch somebody, like, turn one, like, when they get a year, and, like, you make sure they don't drink, which, you know. And so, anyway, I just saw, like, three watches in a row of, like, all these, like, strong women that are, like, still sober, you know. And it just, like, my heart just, like, melted, because, wonderful people, and like we get to stay sober, you know, and like these bonds that I have with like these women in this program, and especially my sponsees, is just like, you know, it's unlike anything else, and it's like the greatest gift in my life today to be able to take another woman through the steps and watch them like overcome obstacles and like, you know, just bloom into a strong woman. And so anyway, but where am I? Okay, so yeah, so I worked my steps. I started sponsoring women. I eventually moved out of the halfway house because, like, I wanted to leave there, like, a bunch of times, you know. I'd be like, oh, yeah, we can, like, totally get a house together, you know, you and me, like, whoever, you know, my roommate was. And, like, they would end up going out, you know, and it would just, like, never pan out. And, like, that was, like, God doing for me what I could not do for myself. And so, anyway, eventually I moved out on my own, and that was good. I had over a year at the time. And, yeah, God's done, like, a lot of really miraculous things for me. I mean, this one isn't so miraculous that I'm about to say, but, like, I got this job when I was, like, new, and, like, I was working with kids, and I loved the kids, and I, like, could not leave this job because of the kids, but the management was just terrible, and, like, I needed to get out of there. And so, like, one morning, finally, I just, like, hit my knees, and I'm like, God, take this job. You know, and so I go into work that day. I get called into the office, like, pretty early, you know, and my boss is just like, do you even want to be here? And I am like, I don't know, you know, and I got fired. And so, you know, it was like, yeah, I didn't quit, I got fired, but, you know, that was just like, that was like the first, like, big thing that just was like mind blown. God is here, you know? And then like, yeah, the past couple of years have been like pretty hard, you know? Like I got, I have a lot of gifts too, but, you know, my best friend, the one that I told you, the nappy one, you know, with the tie-dye t-shirt, he committed suicide. And, that's been really, really hard, but, you know, it's like, I don't know, I talk about him a lot, and, you know, he didn't like AA, and he didn't continue coming to AA, he never really gave it the full, you know, shot, I guess, and, but, you know, I don't know, I feel like I can take that. I've, like, met a lot of people in AA that have had the same experience happen in sobriety and needing to know how to stay sober. You know, when you're at brunch with the family and they're all having mimosas and it seems appropriate. And, but I was able to just be there and support them and, you know, stay sober. And yeah. And, I'm in school, like, big time, you know, and that's, like, really great, you know, because I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be, like, an elementary school teacher, and I'm going to teach, like, kids, you know, and hopefully Title I kids, but, you know, it's, like, crazy that, like, I can be in charge of a bunch of, like, people's children, you know, and that's really great, and I love it. I'm, like, really passionate about it. I taught this little boy, like, I got him on reading level, which is, like, a big deal. It was, like, bad when I first came in this year, but, anyway, that's super, I don't know, that's, like, the point is that, like, you know, AA did that for me, you know, if I had my way, you know, if I, like, had continued, like, being out there, I would never have that, you know, I would never have, like, 98% of the things in my life, you know, I wouldn't have me, like, drinking. I am like a shell of a human being, and honestly, I don't know that I would even be alive today, but probably being alive would have been worse than being dead. And yeah, I've another like God thing that happened like this last year is I got in this like crazy car accident and I broke my pelvis and my sacrum and like got like super fucked up, right? And I like for the first, like, 5 hours of being in the hospital, like, I just kept, every time I would wake up from my concussion, I would just be like, I'm in AA, no drugs, you know, And so anyway, my boyfriend was there, of course, at the hospital, and he, you know, he went out and called his sponsor and everything, and, you know, got the okay for me to get the pain medication because I really did need it at the time. And, you know, that was really tough, like, being in sobriety and, like, coming to AA meetings and, like, you know, being on medication and feeling apart from, you know. But I called my sponsor, like, every single day, you know, and told her exactly what I was thinking and feeling. And I talked to the woman in my network. They picked me up for meetings. They, like, drove me around. They took me out of the house to, like, do things, you know. And it's, like, crazy to me that I, like, stayed sober through that, you know. Because I always thought that, like, if I had been in a situation like that, no way I would have been able to stay sober. But, like, I was as a result of this fellowship and, like, God and my sponsor. And, yeah, and then, like, after I had healed, pretty much, like, this newcomer, this woman, she fell out of a tree and broke her pelvis and her sacrum. And, like, I went to the hospital with her sponsor and, like, got to talk to her, like, hey, I did that too. Like, I helped her with her legs, you know, the right way. And, like, I told her about, like, you know, all right, here's what it feels like to be on, you know, drugs in sobriety and, like, the things that, like, you need to do because of this. And, you know, that was just, like, I don't know, that was just such a gift that, like, this, like, crazy experience that, like, I didn't think I would be able to share with a newcomer or, like, with somebody else in AA, like, I was able to share that, you know. And, like, it's, like, all of the things that, like, I've been through pre-sobriety, post-sobriety, all the shitty stuff, like, I don't have to, like, feel bad about it or, like, you know, be upset that it happened because, like, I can find somebody in these rooms that, like, shares about a similar experience or, like, doesn't know how to handle something going on in their lives at the time, and I can share my experience, strength, and hope with them. And that's just, like, such a gift. I love AA so much, and I feel so at home here, you know? Unlike any other places that I go